lessons we learn from Advent is that we used to say in Arabic, "Ma fi sudfe ma arab." There's no coincidence with the Lord. Hundreds of years before Mary and Joseph showed up in Bethlehem, the passage we read today had said it would happen. And there were times over the last many years that I wondered why God wouldn't open up a church for me to pastor. But there's no coincidence, there's no accidents with the Lord. And I praise God that we're here this morning. And we shared, different ones shared already this morning, some things that are on their heart for us to pray about. And we want to pray for those before we look into God's word. And we know that it's no accident that they were here today, that they shared those things. And we believe that even as we pray for them, that God will answer those prayers. Because that's the God we serve. So let's pray, and then we'll look into God's word. Lord, we are so grateful. We are so grateful this morning that you are a God who didn't just wind things up and then go off on your way, but you are intimately involved in your people's lives. Lord, we're grateful that hundreds of years before our Savior was born, you had told us where it would happen. And Lord, that one who was born, that little baby, really was the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And so in our lives, Lord God, as things sometimes seem so chaotic, as things seem so difficult, and there are times when it feels like we are just under the pile, yet you're in the midst of that. And you offer that peace and that presence and that love and that encouragement. And so we give you thanks for the way you answered our prayers for Diana's daughter. And we ask, God, that you continue to bless Elizabeth with good health. We are grateful, Lord, with how you're providing, even as Paula shared today, with financial gifts. And we pray you'd continue to bless there. We pray for Sue's family, for Paul, who's living so close to the wildfires. And we ask, God, for protection for him and his family. And, Lord, we ask that you would help for these fires to be under control and stopped, that you would minimize the damage and the destruction. And as people begin to rebuild, that, Father God, your people would be right there to show the love of Jesus in that process. We pray for David and his wife as they are looking for new jobs. And for David, who is here this morning's company, as they laid off these five people, Lord, we ask that you would provide those who need employment for what they need. And Lord God, for the business, that it would improve as well. Lord God, we're not ashamed to come before you and to ask for these things because we know you're a good Father. You're a Father who loves us and who promises that you won't leave us and you won't forget us. And where you might be taking us in the days and the years to come, would you help us to think your thoughts after you? And would you be honored and glorified by all we say and do today? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And I should pray, I missed one thing and I don't want to forget it. And Lord, we do pray for Eliana's sister Bowie and ask for healing for her today. Lord God, we know that you're the great physician and we ask, God, that you would strengthen her body. Bring her full health in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry about that. Good morning. It is an incredible honor this morning. It has been the last few weeks as well, and it will be each week going forth, but there's just something that feels very sacred and very special this morning. I thank you for being here. I thank you, Al, especially for your challenge and your charge to us. I'm humbled that you all would trust me enough that you would ask me to become pastor here. And I'm humbled that God himself, it amazes me that he calls ordinary people into ministry at all and uses us. And oftentimes my prayer is, Lord, use me in spite of myself. Because as much as I try to live that perfect life, the reality is I'm human. And it doesn't always go quite the way I'd like. You know, I was remembering as I was thinking about this morning, a pastor who was visiting a church. The search committee was taking him on a tour, and he came into the sanctuary. And he was surprised that there was only one pew, and it was at the very back of the church. And so he said to the team there, he said, "Well, I don't understand. Why is there only one pew?" And they said, "Oh, Pastor, you're going to love this. When people come in and they sit down, the pew slides to the front. And another one pops up in its place. And when that one gets filled, it slides to the front. You always have people sitting all the way up." And he thought, "This is awesome. This is great." And so they came around to the pulpit. And he went and he stood up on the pulpit and he was looking at it. And they said, "Well, Pastor, we have to tell you that, you know, you have to give and take. So you'll notice there's a little door behind the pulpit. You get 35 minutes to preach. When the clock hits 30, you get a little red light. If you're not done, you're done." So we'll see. I'm thinking that may be why I don't go up back, you know, behind there, because I heard there might be that door. So, well, this morning I'm not going to preach an expository message as I normally would, going verse by verse and kind of taking things apart that way. We'll resume that next week as we think about how God had remembered his people and moved to redeem them in sending his son. But I want to share with you a little bit of my heart, a little bit of my vision for what I believe God might just want to do in and through Salem Evangelical Free Church. And I loved what was shared already. The reality is that it's not one person that does this. You didn't bring me in or Bryce or John to do all the ministry so you all can come and listen and then go home and you're done. But you've called us to be here so that we would equip you to do ministry. And it's only going to be effective. And this church will only become what God wants us to be if we do that together. If we will pray for one another, if we will go through life with one another, if we support one another when things are going well, but also when they're not. And ultimately, if we will use our gifts and our calling to serve not only in this congregation here, but in our community as well. Many, many years ago, I think God has a sense of humor. I'm firmly convinced of that. But I was in maybe fourth or fifth grade at Salem Lutheran Church in Peoria, Illinois. And I remember as I would sit and listen to the pastor preach, I would think about how I would have done it differently. And it was in those days that I knew God wanted me to be a pastor. That was what I was supposed to do. That's what he had made me to do. I don't think quite so critically all the time when other people preach. I try not to anyway. But I have continued to have that sense that God wants me to pastor. And several years later, our family was living in Rockford, Illinois, and we had a new youth pastor at our church. And I remember one evening he had shared from John chapter 15 about how we are the branches, he is the vine, and that we only have life when we stay connected to Jesus. And I had this vision in my mind as I went home that night of me at school the next day, and I was walking down the hallway, and as I walked down the hallowed halls of Auburn High School, everyone at the lockers turned to stare at me because I was just a walking sack of bones, alive on the outside, dead on the inside, and I was rattling so loud they would all look at me. And I had this sense that very night that I needed to give my life to Jesus Christ. And I remember praying that I had made a sufficient mess of my life and I needed Jesus to come in and to show me how to live. Now, I would like to tell you that from that moment on, things were perfect. But I didn't even really understand in that moment what it was that I had done. I just knew it was what I was supposed to do. I needed to do. And it wasn't until I got to college and I began to be involved in a campus ministry that it made sense and it began to fit together what it means to have a relationship with God, what it means to read his word and allow it to feed my life, what it meant to pray, what it meant to serve. And I began to grow and to understand that more. And it was during that time that a good friend of mine said to me, he said, "Rick, are you willing to go anywhere and do anything for the cause of Jesus Christ?" And that kind of scared me. I'd never thought of that question. And it scared me because if I said yes, God might ask me to go somewhere and do something. And was I willing to And I went to a retreat not long after that, and the person speaking talked about 40 things that were true because we're in Jesus, because we're in Christ, from the book of Ephesians. And as he was talking, it occurred to me that if God has blessed us in our relationship with him in such abundant ways, then he certainly can take care of me wherever it is he might want me to go. And so I said yes. And it wasn't too long after that that this gal I had known for a while and I had started spending time together, and she can't seem to get rid of me. We've been married now, 28 years. But as we gather today and as we think about where God might be taking us, I think about the last few years of our time in Jordan. As I was pastoring the International Church and God was blessing there, we were also a part of a church planting team. And we were seeking to build relationships with Muslims and share the gospel with them. And we were part of a team with two other couples. And we would meet twice a week. One time it was to pray and to worship and just really to call out to God to do incredible things in Jordan. And throughout the Middle East. And then the other time we would meet would be to train and to think about how are we going to share our faith and what stories will we tell and what methods can we use that are better. And one time we'd been praying, we'd been crying out to God, and our team leader, I'll call him Tim, he said, okay, we've just been praying these huge, beautiful, amazing prayers that God would move. And for me, one of the things that I would often pray, one of the things that was often on my heart was the vision that's mentioned both in Habakkuk and also in Isaiah. Both spoke of the day when the knowledge of God would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And so I would pray, God, would you allow the knowledge of you to cover Jordan? Would it cover the Middle East? Would it cover the world as the waters cover the sea? I love that picture. And that's my prayer for us here, that the knowledge of God would cover Florissant and Ferguson and Hazelwood and all of North County and St. Louis, Missouri and beyond as the waters cover the sea. And as we would pray, we would cry out to God and we would ask God to fulfill the vision in Revelation chapter 7. It says in verse 9 in Revelation 7, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we would ask God to make that happen. Because if it's every language, if it's every tribe, if it's every nation, that meant it would be Arabs. And we prayed, God, would you do this? Would you do this? And one time Tim said at the end of our time praying and crying out to God, he said, what needs to happen for us to realize these things we're praying for us to see God do this? And one person said, you know what? We've got to get out. We've got to share our faith more. And somebody else said, no, you know what? We need to ask better questions when we're witnessing. And somebody else said, you know what? We just need a better way to tell the story. And they went on with different things like this. And something didn't strike me as, there was just something not quite right with that. And I said, you know what? Everything you just said, we could do all of them and not see one person come to know Jesus. I said, we could do none of these and tomorrow hundreds could come to know Jesus. We don't really need to talk to more people or to have better methods. What we need is a movement of God's Spirit. Because if God's Spirit moves, nothing can hold him back. Now, there was an awkward silence after I said that, and we kind of dissipated. But it's true here as well. At one level, it does not matter who the pastor is. At another level, it matters, and please, I'd like to stay. But at one level, it does not matter, because if God's Spirit moves, nothing will hold him back. And that's what we need here as well. We need for God to move in such a way that when we're talking to our neighbor, when we're talking to our coworker, when we're at school talking to a classmate, when we are praying for someone to be healed, when we're asking God to move, the Holy Spirit shows up. And those prayers are answered, and those hearts are opened, and our words don't fall on dry ground. But God takes those things we offer, and he gives them life, and he bears fruit. I believe that Salem Evangelical Free Church, right here at the corner of Pullman and New Halls Ferry, is a strategic part of what God wants to do in this community. In North County, in Salem, in St. Louis County, it could be Salem County, in all of this area, God, I believe he sees us as strategic. That we are a church with a bright future. But for that to happen, we need him to show up. It's not going to be fancy preaching. It's not going to be my nice clothes. It's going to be his Holy Spirit that does it. Do we want God to work? Do we want all that he intends for us? Do we want to grow deeply in our love for him and our love for other people? Do we want to be a church with depth and impact in people's lives? Do we want to be a church that has impact into our community? Do we want those things? Because if we do, we need his Spirit. We need God's Spirit. And so we've got to create space in our own personal lives for the Holy Spirit to work in us and transform us. And we need to create space for the Holy Spirit to move in our congregation and through our congregation. If we want to see our communities transformed by the gospel, and I hope we do. We long that Florissant and Ferguson and Hazelwood and all of North County and wherever our feet might fall. I know some of us live in Illinois. Some of us live pretty far from here. But if we long to see those communities that we have influence in impacted by the gospel, we can't make it happen. We can create the space for the Holy Spirit. We can do things that will stop it for sure. But at the end of the day, we need the Holy Spirit. We need God to work. But it starts with us. And it starts right here. And it starts with our desire in my heart, in your heart, to be those people that allow God in to transform us, to transform our church. Maybe you've read The Chronicles of Narnia, the series of books by C.S. Lewis. In the last of those books, in the last battle, it's kind of this picture of Revelation, of the end of the world, and they get into Aslan's country. They go into this, what Lewis is kind of making to be sort of like heaven. And as they come in, suddenly everything is just so beautiful, and it's the way things were always intended to be. They're just, they finally, their hearts have found this home. But over and over again, the characters say, further up, further in, don't settle, keep going, there's even more. There's more to see. There's more to experience. There's more to know. Press on. Further up. Further in. And I don't know where you are with Jesus today, but I think my role as your pastor is to tell you, further up. Further in. There is more for us to experience. There's more for us to know. Jesus wants more of us. And he wants to do more in us and through us. And so, for myself, that's my prayer, further up and further in, and it will be my prayer for you all as well. That we won't settle. You know, the word mediocrity comes from two words in Greek, medias, which is halfway, and okris, which is a high mountain. And it's this picture of climbing up a high mountain, and you get halfway, and you've really been working hard, and you're sweating, and you're tired, and so you take a break. And you look back, and you see, wow, this is a great view. And you look up and you realize, oh my goodness, we've got a long way to go. Maybe we could be comfortable right here. And so rather than pressing on to the very top, you stop. You settle for mediocrity halfway up the high mountain because it just seems too hard. But let us not settle for mediocrity with Jesus. There's so much more that he wants for us. Don't stop halfway up the mountain. Let's get all the way to the very top. Let's press on together. Let's spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's experience all that God has for us. Let's not settle. The view is better than what we had seen before, but I promise you, there's something even more waiting for us. Let's press on together. So how do we get there? How do we realize some of these things that, in a very general sense, I'm even suggesting? How do we become what God wants us to be? Well, again, if you haven't learned anything from this message yet, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's what God does in us. We can't do it ourselves. It's just not possible. But we have a part to play in the process. The late Dallas Willard once wrote that grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. We cannot earn by our deeds blessing. We can't earn from the things we do certain standing with God. But we have a part to play. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who's at work. And so we have to make an effort. We have to be intentional. We have to live our lives on purpose if we hope for God to break in. We have to create space for the Holy Spirit in our lives to transform us. If we don't, then we're probably not going to experience that. And it's not that we're earning those things, but our effort simply creates the space for God to do what God wants to do. Rarely does transformation follow a formula. Rarely does it look like what you and I expect it to look like. God will do what God wants to do. And let me tell you, it's always better. We think we know, and then God does it, and we realize we didn't know. But he knew. And he did it in ways we would never have guessed. We didn't know it's what he was doing. But he gets us there, and it's worth it. So as we begin this journey together, there's just a couple things that I want to challenge us with. One is we need to be intentional. We need to live life on purpose. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, he came to the disciples, he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." That idea of making disciples. We need to be doing a good job of building one another up right here in this place, of being in God's word, of praying together, of learning the practices and the things that will allow our lives to be open to what the Holy Spirit is doing. And as your pastor, I commit myself personally to that journey, and I commit myself to help you walk that journey. I'll bring you to the water. You'll have to make the choice to drink. We will have to do that together, though. Create that space for the Holy Spirit to work so that we become the people he wants us to be, so that our lives are transformed. Those anger issues finally get dealt with. Those fear issues are finally lessened. Those gossip issues that I know none of you have, that those will be dealt with. Those pet peeves that we have will suddenly be replaced with patience and grace. Those things in us that need to be filed off will get filed off. And he'll be the one that receives the glory. He'll be the one that will receive the honor. So we want to make disciples here in this place. But we don't want it to just be here in this place. You know, we lived in the Middle East. We know we used to go down to the Dead Sea. And there's a reason why it's dead. It's because water flows in, but nothing goes out. And if you just come and if we just fill you up and we just do discipleship in this place and you get filled up and then you go home and then you come back, guess what? Spiritually, you're going to be dead. But if you get filled up and you go into your home and you go into your neighborhood and your job and your school and you let it flow through you, you will discover life. You will discover something more than you can imagine. Because that's what it's all about. We're equipping the ministers to minister. We're not just trying to give you knowledge. We're not just trying to get you so that you can pass the final exam. When you meet St. Peter at the pearly gates, he's not going to say, "Okay, sit down. You got to pass the, the SAT before you can get in. No. We do these things so that you and I can go into our communities. We can go into those places of influence that God's given us. And through us, His Holy Spirit can have influence. We can be those vessels, those instruments He chooses to use. We can learn to discern when the Holy Spirit is nudging us to say something or to pray something or to simply offer something, whatever it might be. So we want to make disciples who go and reproduce, who make more disciples. I would love if a year from now there wasn't an empty seat in this place. I would love if we had to think about, do we go to 2 services, 3 Saturday night? That'd be awesome. But better than that, I would love to hear that every one of us has a Bible study in our neighborhood, that people have come to know Jesus and are being discipled. Wouldn't that be awesome? Even if those people never darken the door of this church, but they love Jesus and we're growing with Him, that would be awesome. Wouldn't that be what it's all about? If we could multiply ourselves so that this community really was saturated with the gospel. Now, if we do those things, I believe that God will bless us here as well. But the priority isn't building our church. The priority is working with Him to build His kingdom. That's what we want to do. And you know what? I love the fact that we're a somewhat diverse group here today. But we can do better. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this church better modeled the community that we're in? That can happen if we will reach out and love our neighbors and those around us. And you know what? I know there are people whose first language is not English in our communities. Wouldn't it be great if we were thinking about ESL classes because people were coming here who would like to worship better and just don't speak our language? Let's be a people who takes the gospel wherever we go. We don't just store it up for ourselves. We're not, you know, I watch the squirrels in my backyard and I can't get rid of them. I want to, but I can't. And their cheeks get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they go off and they keep their nuts for themselves, and the seeds they steal from my birds. I'm not happy about it. Let's not be squirrels. Let's make sure that the seeds we get bear fruit in other people's lives. One of the questions, and I love that, I was at the culture on Tuesday night. I love that Bryce has us ask this when we're doing studies with the students. Who will you share this with this week? Sunday morning, we should be thinking about who can I share this with this week? Who needs to hear this message who's not here today? Let's not keep it for ourselves. Let's make sure that it's growing. All right, so this was going to be a really short message. And I think that's out the window already. But I think it's an important message. Because we want to be a people here in this congregation who love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and body, and who love our neighbors as ourselves. We want a people who are growing in our faith, but not just for the sake of us, for the sake of the world. That as we leave this place, people, when they see us, oh, that's one of those people from Salem. How do you know? Because of the way they love each other, and they love us. Let us be those kinds of people who make that kind of difference. And so we want to be intentional in our discipleship. We want to be intentional in our outreach. What does that mean? Does that mean programs? Maybe. It might. It might mean for us to think about how we can very specifically reach out into the community. But it might just be being Jesus right where God plants us and opening our eyes to the opportunities around us and just saying yes to Him when maybe in the past we would have said no. Or maybe it means saying no once in a while, because God is calling us in a different direction. But it's learning to discern that, right? It's learning to listen to the Holy Spirit and respond. Well, there's lots more that we could say. But I think if we lay this foundation, if we will intentionally seek after Him, if we will intentionally seek to share Him, then God is going to bless this congregation. God is going to bless this community. And that prayer that we would have this day where the knowledge of Jesus covers North County as the waters cover the sea, we're going to get closer to that. And as we do that, you know, we have opportunities to partner with missionaries. We have opportunities to partner with ministries all around St. Louis County and beyond. that water is going to spread a little further. And the day will come when we will stand before that throne. And there are going to be people from every tribe and language and nation. And they'll all be there. And some of them will say, I'm here because of you, because you shared. Or I'm here because of you, because you gave. Or I'm here because of Salem. It's ultimately not about us. If we work ourselves out of a job, that's awesome. It's about Jesus. It's about his kingdom. So, I'm going to pray. But I invite you to join me in this journey. Let's do it together. Let's see what God has for us. Let's pursue him with intention. Let's make him known wherever we can. Let's love him well. Let's love each other well. Let's love others well. That he will receive the glory and his kingdom will be built. Let's pray. Gracious God, it's a God-sized task. Pastoring is a God-sized task. Being faithful witnesses is a God-sized task. Loving you well, growing in that relationship, telling others about you, understanding where to serve, knowing what to do. Lord, it's all bigger than any one of us. So Lord, would you start or perhaps really continue in us today to build us up in your spirit, that each one of us would be more intentional as a disciple. That Father God, your word, we would allow it in, that we'd be a people of prayer, that we would create that space for your Holy Spirit. And Lord God, would you begin to do things even more than what you've done already? That the name of Jesus would be lifted high. That people would come to faith. That you would receive the glory and your kingdom would expand. Lord, hasten the day when the knowledge of you covers the earth, covers our neighborhoods, like the waters cover the sea. In your name we pray.